Right now, there is an opportunity for peace between Israel and Lebanon, probably for the first time in 40 or 50 years.
This is the Babel Undone podcast. It's a podcast for curious people that want to get a deeper understanding about our complex world. And I'm one of the hosts. My name is Johnny Moore. I'm president of JDA Worldwide and the Congress of Christian Leaders. And I am joined by
Joseph D'Souza, the Archbishop of the Good Shepherd Church of India, an Indian based in India and doing ministry all over the world.
Bishop, today our subject is
very topical, very current, and titled Helping Lebanon Turn the Page on Its Ties to Terror. So there's a long history of instability in the beautiful country of Lebanon. From 1975 to 1990, civil war gripped the nation. Since then, there have been frequent violent interactions between Israel and the Lebanon-based, Iranian-funded terrorist group Hezbollah. Tensions escalated dramatically in the wake of October 7th attacks in 2023. Now, a year later, Lebanon's failure to deal with terrorist activity within their borders is leading to tragic consequences. But with redemption, always just one good decision away, our guest today will show us what's possible if Lebanon's leadership changes course, makes peace with Israel, and leaves its ties to terror in the past.
Our guest is Luke Moon. He serves as the deputy director of the Philos Project, an organization which seeks to promote positive Christian engagement in the Near East by creating leaders, building community, and taking action in the spirit of the biblical tradition. Luke Moon now serves as the director of the Philos Project, an organization which seeks to promote positive Christian engagement on Near East policy. And he focuses on creating and building leaders, also building community and taking action in the spirit of the biblical tradition. For over 25 years, he's been a teacher, a writer, and an advocate on a variety of social, religious, and political issues. He's an expert on religion and democracy. He spends his life focused now on the Middle East, and he can provide a unique perspective on what's currently happening in a part of the current conflict in the Middle East that doesn't get enough attention, and that is Lebanon, a country meant to be the Christian country in the Middle East, yet again torn apart by war. And Luke joins us now. Luke, we always like to begin these discussions with a very, very simple question. You can answer it however you like, just to help our audience get to know you a little bit. And here's the question. Who is Luke Moon?
Luke Moon is the head of an organization called the Philos Project, P-H-I-L-O-S. Philos means friend in Greek. We encourage Christian support for Israel and the Jewish people. We stand with persecuted Christians in the Middle East. And, you know, we work to revive the West by connecting it with its roots in the East. And before I was with Philos, I was a missionary for 12 years with an organization called YWAM, or Youth with a Mission. And I got involved in fighting human trafficking. That led me to get a master's, that led me to go to Washington, D.C. You know, actors go to Hollywood, policy wonks go to D.C. So D.C. I went and connected there and made friends and just built up a network and got plugged into to Israel, Jewish people, accidentally. And so 10 years later, I'm still mucking around in this space, Johnny. Still doing what I can.
And one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to you is because you just know so much, and you know the region so well, not just in an academic sense, but you spend a lot of time in the Middle East. And so today, there are a lot of things to talk about in the Middle East, but a discussion that's increasingly relevant, but not a lot of people are talking about or understand, really, is the situation between Israel and Lebanon. And so I'm wondering if you could just, like, give us not only an overview of kind of where this conflict came from and what caused it, but also what is Lebanon? What was Lebanon supposed to be? How did this all go wrong? you know, we'll let you be our teacher for a few minutes, Luke, okay. on all things okay. Lebanon.
Amazing. Well, I'm talking to you actually from Jerusalem, so I happen to be pretty close to Lebanon, and Lebanon is a very interesting place to me. I mean, obviously, you know, it's in like Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon, which is like you know, it's on the coast. It's just north of the border with Israel, and Israel has well. Basically, going back to even like 1948, was at war with all of its neighbors, and one of those neighbors was Lebanon. But the thing was that Lebanon had a large Christian population. Actually, had like percentage wise was the largest Christian country in the area. And one of the things I like to kind of consider is that there was a choice about 100 years ago that the Christians had between whether or not they wanted to be. Let's call it like Big Lebanon or Little Lebanon. And Big Lebanon would have been a Christian majority, like Christian only, in a sense, like a Christian only country. Like, you know, probably say like 80 or 90% Christian. Big Lebanon was like, no, we can take the whole land and we will, you know, we'll outnumber the Muslims and, you know, we'll hold it. Well, it didn't happen. I mean, all this was after the, you know, Lebanon was part of the Ottoman Empire after World War I. It all, that whole, you know, that empire got dismantled by the French and the British. The French took Lebanon and Syria. Actually, those two countries created them. But Lebanon had that choice, and they chose Big Lebanon. And the problem was that the Muslims ended up outbreeding them. That was the reality. Just got it, it became the percentage of Christians dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. And then you had waves of other Muslim groups that began to come into Lebanon. One of those, there was a civil war. After the civil war ended, there was a period of, you know, it was unstable, but it was not so bad. And then you had a period in which the Palestinians, having basically fled out of Jordan because they had tried to overthrow the king of Jordan, they had to flee somewhere, and a bunch of them fled to Lebanon. And those militias that went into Lebanon destabilized Lebanon and led to an ongoing conflict with Israel all through the 80s, in which, you know, the Christians and the Israelis were aligned together against the Palestinians. And, you know, we have some friends who, you know, their parents were part of what was called the South Lebanese Army. And they were the Christian army that was aligned with Israel against Muslims. And they talk about how, you know, it was not uncommon for the Palestinians, when they would attack a Christian village, they would throw the Christians off the buildings. They would murder the Christians. It was like, it was not a happy scene. Fast forward, ongoing conflict. Lebanon becomes like Israel's Vietnam, in which there was just a regular steady pace of Israeli boys and men dying on the battlefield of southern Lebanon. And in 2006, Israel's like, we're done, guys. We're out. We're done. We're done with this place. We're done fighting for it. We're done. We're just done. And they left. And the deal was that the UN would come in. There's a river that's about 20 miles north of the border, and they would come in. The UN would come and they would keep Hezbollah, which is the main terrorist organization in Lebanon. They would keep them from having any weapons south of what's called the Litani River. Well, in typical UN fashion, they just kind of watched. They watched as the Shia villages of southern Lebanon were filled to the brim with rockets. And it was estimated, right up until basically, I would say a month ago, Johnny, that there was probably estimates of 130,000 rockets aimed at Israel in those southern communities. Those communities that the UN was supposed to keep from being filled with rockets. And so basically October 7th happens in Israel. Hamas invades Israel in the south, breaks through the border fence, and Hezbollah was supposed to attack Israel that same day. But Hamas jumped the gun. They were going to do it later, but they jumped the gun, no pun intended. And they got the Hezbollah didn't invade at the same time. Had they done that, it's very likely that Israel could have been much, much worse than it even was with October 7th. But it's a lot there.
So here we are. Here we are today. You know, as we're talking, and we'll see how long it lasts. But as we're talking, there's basically, Israel's fighting a war with Hamas, fighting a war with Hezbollah. They're fighting a war with the Houthis. They're fighting, from Yemen. They're fighting a war with Iraqi militias. The Iran launched things. Where does all this end? Is Lebanon still a Christian country? How do we balance,
What's the percentage of Christians now in Lebanon?
So the way to think about Lebanon is the easiest way is basically it's a third Christian, a third Sunni Muslim, and a third Shia Muslim.
Okay.
And for your listeners, you always got to understand that the Sunni-Shia divide is the primary conflict in the region overall. Every other conflict in the region is basically somewhere in that divide. It's like in Europe, it was the 30-year wars and the 100-year war between the Protestants and the Catholics. That's what's going on right now within Islam. There's this ongoing civil war between Sunnis and Shias, and there's a third of each in Lebanon. So it's a very and the government was set up to where there was a representative from the Sunnis, a representative from the Christians, a representative from the Shia. There's also some other groups in there, some Druze and some smaller groups, but it really you got to think of it as like a third, a third, a third, And honestly, what is so important for, I think, Christians to understand and anybody who prays is right now, there is an opportunity for peace between Israel and Lebanon, probably for the first time in 40 or 50 years. Now, there's a lot of people I talk to since I've been here in Israel that's, come on, Luke, they're like, what? Like, don't be so naive. But the thing is that Hezbollah right now it has been utterly decimated by Israel. That 130,000 rockets that were south of the Litani River, it's estimated that 80% of those have been destroyed by Israel, which is a massive success by Israel. And Hezbollah feels its back is against the wall, and it's a real opportunity for. And we're seeing the other groups within Lebanon for the first time in decades speaking out, actually being, it's like basically the playground bully, is away for the day. And suddenly everybody's like, oh, I can speak up. Yeah, Hezbollah is terrible. Hezbollah did this. Hezbollah did that. Hezbollah is, it's corrupt and it's corrupting us. And we got to throw off the shackles of that. And the best way to throw off the shackles of Hezbollah is to take away their guns. Okay, that's happened. But make peace with Israel. Why? Because that takes away the opportunity for Hezbollah to regain strength and regain power. Because it's right now there's an armistice between Israel and Lebanon. And a peace deal would... Adding them to the Abraham Accords would be incredible. It would absolutely be incredible.
How likely is that to happen?
I would say I'm actually optimistic. I would say I'm in the, like, I don't know, 60-40 range, probably, maybe I go even higher, because we haven't seen the kind of courage, I would say, out of the other non-Hezbollah groups in Lebanon. There was a major Christian party in Lebanon that was aligned with Hezbollah out of pragmatic purposes. You know, they were you know, scared, and they're small, and so we're going to stick with the guy who's the bully. Well, they broke with that guy, with the party, I mean. And then the head of the biggest kind of denomination, the Lebanese Christians are mostly Maronite, which is a particular kind of Catholicism. And the patriarch of Lebanon has been very outspoken against Hezbollah in a way that he has previously been a little more quiet. Same with some of the Sunnis, and the Druze are coming out, and other parties are basically saying, we want a different path forward. And so by them coming forth, it gives an opportunity for there to be a partner for peace on the Lebanese side. And then on the Israel side, you know, the Israel's itching for any kind of addition to the Abraham Accords. And so with Trump in the office, I think there's a real opportunity for a new path forward for Lebanon and Israel.
Politically, is it a democracy possible to be a robust democracy versus being governed by a terrorist group?
Yeah, I mean, it is very possible. It's very possible, the devil's in the details always. I mean, I would say that one of the errors that the U.S. did when we were in Iraq was to ban the Ba'athist Party, which was Saddam Hussein's party, which was actually the secular party in the politics of Iraq, which gave rise to ISIS. Like there was a What I don't want to have happen, like I could totally see a Shia party, maybe it's not named after Hezbollah, but a Shia party that still is part of the government. You know, people get to vote for them, but it does allow for there has to be Shia representation in the government, and they can't be utterly booted out. What the line is the militia. You got to take away the guns. The only people who should have guns is the army and the police, and that's it, right? Like that's got to be the path forward. But I think there's a real shot here, and I hope people are praying for it.
This is very educational for our audience who don't understand what on earth is Hezbollah, and they don't even know the Christian dimension to this. So this gives a lot of information, Johnny, for people to pray for this.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to do. I mean, like lots and lots of Christians, you know, I have friends, in Israel and friends in Lebanon. I would love to one day have dinner in one country and have lunch the next day in the other.
Wouldn't it be amazing, Johnny, would be to like rent a car in Tel Aviv and then drive up to Beirut and have dinner? I mean, because it's that close.
No, it would be incredible. And, you know, we are, as Christians, we're called to love peace. And
we commend you, Luke, for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
And wish you much success. Keep in touch. We'll keep in touch with you. And we want to follow you.
Yeah, I think this conflict, actually, is somehow one that's closer to the Christian heart, and we need to be more educated on it. And yet I talk to a lot of Christians in Lebanon, and they always say to me in various ways, like, we know who Israel is after, and it's not us. But there's a difference between war and there's a difference between peace. And let's pray that comes true.
There's a window. I think we have like 6 months, 6 to 8 months, maybe a year max before this window closes. It's a unique time.
A question. When you said there's armistice going on, then which Hezbollah, what Hezbollah is sending these drones and these missiles into Israel?
Right. So there was an armistice, which basically is, an armistice is basically a ceasefire. And Hezbollah has been launching rockets at Israel since October 7th, thousands and thousands of them. Obviously, so there's been a war, but it's on the, like, officially with Lebanon, it's still officially, they're not at war with Lebanon, they're at war with Hezbollah. That's the line. And my concern is, if negotiations are just for a ceasefire that returns to the status quo, which is the armistice, which we have to get beyond. So praying that we that a ceasefire is not just a ceasefire towards the status quo, but it's a ceasefire towards peace. That's what we got to be praying for. That's what we got to be talking to, like, just getting out and, like, awakening people's senses that there's a possibility that this thing could happen is huge, because people are unaware. And it's a, it, you know, opportunities like this don't come around all the time.
Especially in the Middle East. And I think that's a great point to end on too, because, like, Israel is in Lebanon now, south of the Latani River, as you say, because Hezbollah, a terrorist organization that had taken over Lebanon, in effect, was shooting rockets to try to create a war. And Israel resisted that for a long, long, long time. And now, because the international community didn't do their job, Israel has to protect its own citizens. But how incredible would it be for this wave of peace that started with the Abraham Accords to move all across the region? And Luke, you're a part of that story, and our audience is now a little more educated on it. And so we thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bishop, this the Middle East is complicated. The Lebanon piece of this isn't getting enough attention. We didn't even scratch the surface, actually. I mean, we could have talked about this for 5 hours. Even with what I know about it, I could have spoken about it for 5 hours. But hopefully our listeners now have a little more information so that they can pray a little better for that country, which is very, very important to the Christian community and to the Bible that we read.
Yeah, and the fact that these ancient Christians are there, and they were once such a large majority and now reduced to a one-third. So you can pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of Christians. So you got a double prayer going on. And listening to him, things look hopeful, and we just have to pray, you know, that the Lord will overrule.
Yeah, and Lebanon is, like, an amazing country. I mean, it used to be called the Paris of the Middle East. Like, it was a beautiful, incredible, incredible place. But this terrorist organization, you know, has just ransacked it. And the Lebanese people are the people that suffered the most first. And, you know, we didn't have time to talk about it in this conversation, but all of that is so connected to the Islamic Republic of Iran and Iran funding all this stuff and all this chaos in the Middle East. Like, we can have hearts of compassion, but the Bible also tells us that we have a commitment to justice, and there is nothing more unjust in the world than when terrorist organizations take away the freedom of people, kill people, cause war, and cause chaos. And that's what we're seeing in the Middle East. But Luke left us with a hope for peace, and I'm going to choose to be optimistic too.
Me too.
Thank you for joining us today for Babel Undone. If this conversation had you thinking, then why don't you share it with someone else? For more episodes of Babel Undone or other amazing content that helps Christians live out their faith, you should head over to premier.plus. That's Premier, P-R-E-M-I-E-R, for the Americans listening in, .plus.